are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one, Alabama. And I mean to say, this show, we send our signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, so it is that time of the week, my favorite time every week, we do this thing we call Boomer and McQueen. Yeah, the whoops. Hey, McQueen, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Just doing gooder.
I feel real underdressed in here today.
Well, this is your usual attire for coming in.
Well, this is my usual attire, but normally he's joining.
I mean,
ouch.
Boomer is rather.
We talked about it earlier this week, and then I was like, man, I gotta dapper up a little bit.
Gotta look more spiffy on
here. A little saucy today. All right, you guys, I got questions. Let's see if you got answers. So here's the deal, folks out there in listening land. We have this thing called Boomer and McQueen with these two folks who are wonderful, and they do a lot of stuff to make this show work. And yet they also have opinions, especially McQueen, because Boomer tells me all the time all the opinions you have. No,
Man.
It's a good thing you dressed up today. Anyway, here's my first question for you.
He's not lying. It's true. Yeah.
Here's my first question for you. Like Ron DeSantis, he said that he would use military force against the cartels who were, you know, flooding drugs across our border and making billions doing it. Senator Tim Scott said today that he would use the military on the southern border to stop people from coming in, not just there for administrative, but actually to stop people coming in. Here's my question. Military, is it time to engage the military on the southern border and not just the border patrol? Your thoughts on that?
I say yes. And I think my first response to both of them, it would be just that there's a plan, you know, that there's a plan. I think a plan to put into action. And I feel like that's so lacking right now. Yeah, I do think it's time. And I think, it's not just a small, like, oh, you know, people crossing the border. Like, no. I mean, I just saw,
Droves.
and dangerous people. Not everyone is, but a lot of dangerous people. And I just saw just this week, some guy was finally arrested, and he was someone that had come through the southern border and had killed, like, 9 people since he'd been here. I mean, and was that the manhunt one, or is that a different one?
I think
there was two things.
He had killed some in Venezuela, I believe, and some here.
Okay, but I think there was two different captures that I saw. One was like that manhunt that was in like Philadelphia, and that was maybe, or Pennsylvania, and that was maybe in the last week. But
That's
then
right.
there was something else where someone had killed like 9 people since being here. They
That's
were
right.
had crossed the southern border. So it's not just we have too many people here, we need population control. It's like we have scary, aggressive, dangerous people that are crossing over. And yeah, I think something needs to be done about it.
So basically, go back to the original question, though, military, which is not their role, because we have laws like Posse Comitatus that says you don't use the U.S. military on U.S. soil for defense or, you know, I mean, so this would be unique.
Mm-hmm. Having the military in that position. I think there needs to be something way more drastic than what's happening, but there needs to be a plan. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to that.
Your turn.
Enough is enough. That's what I have to say about this border junk. Considering the military to do something about it as well. I mean, why don't we just Siri, stop. I mean, that's hard to, like you just said, that. What's the law called?
Posse Comitatus.
Posse Comitatus.
Yeah, Posse Comitatus.
I mean, I usually say that every night before I go to bed. But I was thinking, like, with that and knowing that our military is there to defend our country and to, you know, fight our battles as a country, I mean, I look at it as this is a battle.
That's
right
a battle.
Now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we need to do something, and it needs to be done sooner rather than later, because thousands are coming across this border, and you may not think you see it, but you really do. I mean, even in your own cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's here in Alabama, it's in every state right now, because they're coming everywhere.
You can't have 5.6 million people come in, and there's only 50 states, and not have every state have some
major
contingent of illegals
right.
that are now resting in their states.
And it's only going to affect everyone in some way, because look how much we're paying for these people through taxes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then they're just going to have to, you know, they'll raise that because they're, oh, we need to take care of more people. It's just enough.
So the question of the U.S. military, I guess I got a quick follow up. Would you say it is or is not that border security is national security?
Border security is, yes, absolutely. I think so.
I think it needs, I mean, I'm not saying have military there forever. I'm thinking, let's just get this thing in order, figure it out, and then let's put policies in place and security in place so this doesn't happen continually.
Yeah, with way higher standards. And like you said, this would be unique. This is something that normally happens. But I think if you look at the way laws have evolved over time and the way the country's evolved over time in the world, like there needs, like, things change, you know? And so maybe we don't fight on our own soil, but like things change in the state that we're in right now. I think it's necessary.
Yeah. And I completely agree with y'all. And I think that, there's a way to do this and do it responsibly. And I, you know, and you, by the way, the National Guard can be deployed by each governor. Some governors don't want that. That's why the question is, do we use active duty, which is a totally different, that's the posse comitatus issue. But that being said, there are missions down there. Like, for instance, you could have combat engineer units get a lot of training by erecting the wall and other barricades. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they do. And, you know, you could have military police augmenting the Customs and Border Patrol, actually doing with arrest authority. I mean, there's all kinds of things they could do. But it's going to take somebody with the political will to get it done.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Speaking of political will, so it was announced recently that Ford Motor Company is losing $5.4 billion this year on their electric vehicle line. The UAW, one of the big United Auto Workers union, one of the major unions, is on strike in Detroit, and they are claiming that EVs are one of the underlying reasons why they're on strike, because it's ruining their jobs. And then at the same time, Great Britain, I believe today, just announced that they are backing off some of their EV push because it turns out it wasn't feasible for them or their grid or their market. So is the EV push fizzling out? That's my question for you. Is it fizzling out? Oh, Boomer's ready.
I'm ready for this.
Oh, good. You probably have more of an opinion on this one.
I do have an opinion on this. And my opinion is, okay, if you want an EV car, awesome. Go get one. Have at it. It's your opinion. It's what you want. Great. I'm all for that.
Don't push it on me.
There we go. We keep saying it over and over again. Stop pushing it on us. And I think the push has made the industry hurt and fail, and that's where they're at right now.
So is the EV push fizzling, do you think?
I hope. But, I mean, but do we actually see that it's fizzling? I mean, they're still cranking them out, even though they're just sitting there and nobody's buying them.
That's a point too. I didn't know that. There's a massive amount of unsold. I mean, the market is flooded right now.
And on top of that, they're selling them cheaper than they actually are. Right? Is that correct?
Meanwhile, you can't get your car back from
the shop. Meanwhile, my Jeep has been sitting at a shop for 75 days because they can't get one stinking little part from the manufacturer because they're rebuilding this part.
So if anyone out there is listening and can give us, has some access to a 2017 Jeep.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, why?
Mind blowing.
Okay.
Stop.
Let him catch a breath. So
my turn.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can talk nicely.
Is the EV push fizzling? Is it fizzling? Did they get too far ahead of themselves, or is it going to pick back up?
I kind of think it is fizzling. I feel like there was such a push and force, like even there was, it was a force of, you know, and trying to make people do this and kind of scaring people into buying EV cars, that I think it's almost like people are just thinking. They're thinking more for themselves, and they're going, oh, wait a minute. Wait, so we're trying to save electric or power, but really it takes this much power to actually make one? Well, that's a whole bunch of baloney. So I don't know. I think people are starting to just kind of think a little more. So yes, okay. The answer is
I don't have a button for Boomer's mic.
All right. So what about this? Let me like turn it around on both of you. All right. Is the EV thing fading because they're going to start trying to push something else on us, like public transportation, like we talked about yesterday?
In some places, I believe they will.
Yeah.
In some places, I believe they will. There was I don't know if you heard it yesterday, but there was a Department of Energy official who came out and said that it actually is true that the EV push is unsustainable, which is why we need to reconsider, you know, ownership options and whether or not we could have some urban planning that might help with
That, like, are the liberals looking at it now like, okay, so this is not working, so maybe we should try something different?
Maybe that was their plan all along.
Or maybe the plan all along to start
that
being
was
like,
the
oh,
end
EV,
game.
Nah, we're going to do something
some
different.
Some people
now.
Say... So, and I don't know that I disagree with this. Some people say that the whole thing about range anxiety, like you can't drive as far, is because they don't want you to drive as far.
Yeah.
They don't want you to be as mobile. They don't want a mobile society, because once you're a mobile society, you can get away from bad policies they put in place that you don't like. So, like, people that move from California to Florida, it's a whole lot harder when it's harder to get there. So
when you have to stop and recharge
times. Yeah, can I bring this into the thing, too? I have a friend that's here from Ukraine. Okay.
Right.
And the city that they live in, she was actually eating at our house the other night. She goes, oh, I just miss – no one walks around here. No one walks around here because their cities there are so small. They literally walk everywhere. There's cars there, of course, but not many. There's more taxis and other people that are Ubering, or I don't know if they call it Uber over there or whatever. But it's way easier for people to get around by walking. And then they have the public transportation that goes trains all over Ukraine.
Yeah.
But what happens when somebody takes a train line out or does this,
which they're having,
or stops
right now,
or turns off the electric trains that run?
You're trapped.
Mm-hmm. And then where's your food line? Oh, it's only coming from the government. Then it all becomes about control.
So that whole not getting rid
of
the self-reliance.
I know I'm going on a rabbit trail, but is that...
He's fired up today.
But is that what this whole thing is about?
I don't think that's a rabbit trail at all. I think that's... I think you're exactly right. I think that what part of the EV push is supposedly it's sustainability and green energy and yada yada. I think what it really boils down to is control. And I think it really boils down to they control your emotions, then they can control your emotions, because they're going to tell you what to think, and you can't get away from it because you no longer have mobility. Mm. So I just, and then if you don't like it, well, we'll just shut off the food that goes to your city. And I mean, that sounds extreme. That sounds dystopian. But at the same time, I can't help but believe that a part of what's out there with all the Soros stuff is that kind of thing. And we got to go to a break.
Well, and 10 years ago, everything going on in this world, we would think that sounds crazy. So it's kind of normal.
Yeah, I think 10 years ago, I'd have gone, come on, Phil. Now I'm sitting here saying it on the air.
Yeah.
All right, listen. That's round one, Boomer and McQueen, which flew by. But we're going to come back and flip the script, and this is where they ask me any question to see what my thoughts are on something. We'll see what it is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making common sense a superpower. So we're back with the Boomer and McQueen segment. Digging it. Got the whoop whoops going. All right, so it is time to flip the script, and one of y'all asked me any question. Oh, Lord, Boomer's first.
I got my hand up.
Mr. Cotta.
Ooh, pick me.
You're having a good day.
I am having a good day because it's Friday Eve and it's not Thursday. All right, so my question. Oh, can I go?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
My
question for you is, all right, with the new, not new, with the second GOP debate coming up.
Yes.
Who do you think is going to be the, let's say, the wow factor in this debate? Because Ramaswamy was kind of like, in my eyes, was the one in the first debate.
Okay.
Who is going to come out this debate, not necessarily slinging and all that stuff, but who's going to be the one that wants to make a statement this one? And
the new front runner?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Okay, so so first of all, I think we're still talking about the front runners in place two. I mean,
exactly.
Because right now the Trump lead is virtually insurmountable at the
right,
at
and
the
we
moment.
Don't think Trump is going to be there, right?
At this point, we don't.
Right. So that's what I meant. Like, let's go with second place, that participation trophy.
So I think that I tell you who it needs to be. It needs to be that the breakout is Ron DeSantis, because he's been riding in number two, but he's plateaued. So for a guy who believes that he is the one who can take Trump's place on the ballot and make something of it in the event that Trump wasn't there or that Trump's poll numbers finally slipped, that guy right there, he better make some hay out of this particular debate in order to advance his own cause, because so far his campaign has sort of reached a plateau, and it's sort of gone into homeostasis, and he needs to up that game, and one of the only ways he can do that is to separate himself from the pack. Mm. He's not gonna. I don't think he's gonna take much away from Trump at this point. He might carve off a percent or two. What he's really gonna do is carve away from the others behind him, I think. And so I would say that the guy who needs to have the standout moment is gonna wind up being Ron DeSantis. He has to. He has to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now Ramaswamy is nipping at his heels. Ramaswamy, by all by most respectable polls, is a good third, a solid third, and which is interesting.
Is he third right now behind DeSantis?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked at that.
All right.
That makes sense.
We got time for another question. What do you got for me?
Well, I wanted to make this a little fun here, and since we were just talking about cars, I want to know. Why is that funny?
I don't know. Yeah, I just thought it was funny.
What? What's your question?
So, what was your favorite car that you've ever... Actually, what was your first car that you've ever owned?
Oh, everybody
that
knows.
Everybody
ever
knows
owned?
This.
I don't know this.
Well, you just don't listen.
Okay, but first car. Go.
All right. First car was a 68 Mustang.
Named Thunderfoot.
Hey,
Thunderfoot.
I had... My first car was a 98 Mustang. Nope, 96 Mustang.
Was nice. That the one you wrecked?
No, the next Mustang.
All right, so my first car was a 68 Mustang, one. Which is the reason why the number for the line is 833-68 right.
68.
They told me I had to pick the numbers, and it had to have two numbers before the word right, and I said, can I take 68? Because that was so. Yes, there is still downstairs.
What color was it?
The factory color was ice blue, we call it, and it had a black vinyl top, which eventually I took off and just made the whole car. But it I had some Krager mags on it. Had a 289 board 30 over with an aluminum Edelbrock torquer intake and a Holley 600 carburetor, crane cam, hooker headers. I'm just saying.
just like a country
he's
song.
He's going to get it again.
Just saying. All right. So, yes, that was my first car.
So, first car. Okay. And then what would be your dream car?
A 68 Mustang with a 289 board 30 over. No. So, my dream car right now actually is, and I've got a couple, but it's still in the lead right now. Is a 1970 Mustang Mach 1 with a 351 Cleveland and a Hurst top loader transmission with a 4-speed Hurst shifter. Thank you. In grabber blue.
Mustang is
in grabber blue with Mustang with style steel wheels and it's got to have a shaker hood.
What's a shaker hood? I don't know what that
shaker
is.
Shaker hood is where the hood scoop is mounted to the engine itself. It comes through a hole in the hood. So when you turn the engine on, you can see the actual hood scoop actually vibrating because it's shaking because of the engine.
Ooh.
Well, when you get one of these, I want to see it because all I heard.
Girl, you're not going to see it.
Ask me the same question right now.
You're going to ride in it.
Ask me the same question.
All right, babe.
Now.
What is your dream
a car? That
car?
Works.
But you have AC now.
That's what I want. That's my dream car right now.
We have had some
car that works.
It's
nightmare.
Not because of what he's paid at Right Side.
No, that's not it. It's just because mine's
it's
broken.
It's because of the Biden supply chain.
Pretty much. That's pretty much why.
That's what they're blaming it on. I'm like,
yeah,
well,
you
that was fun.
I agree.
Yeah, see, I thought that was a nice little way to
if
light
you go downstairs
mood.
Later on in the law firm office.
Is there a picture?
There's a picture of Thunderfoot sitting on the shelf.
I'm going to go look at it.
And there's a picture on our website.
Yes, there is.
Man. Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. It's in the photo gallery.
All right.
Easy
I'll
question.
I'll take a look.
Ask me that one anytime.
I know. So that was
although,
fun. I can't believe I didn't know that.
The
though.
One way you can get me away from my Mustang, if somebody said, we'll put a 1970 Cuda AAR in your garage with a 340 and a six pack, and I'd go, woof. And that's not a drinking six pack, that's three carburetors. Thank
there
you very
you
much.
Go.
Man, I thought I knew a lot about cars, and I literally, the only words I've understood have been Mustang.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.